The following contest is scheduled for one fall. Please welcome Mr. Freds.
What is going on, peeps, and welcome to episode 156 of the Fretzelmania podcast. I am the North American treasure, your second favorite Canadian, Mr. Fretz. After my brief detour into 2024 wrestling, as fun and as good as it was, it's time to go back to the Attitude Era, to Monday Night Raw from April 17th. 2000, almost 24 years to the day since this very historic episode of Raw, and I'll get into why in just a second. But first, I'm going to go grapple surfing to see what else was going on in the world of wrestling. On this very night, we had WCW Monday Nitro from the Metro Center in Rockford, Illinois. Sean Stasiak defeated Kurt Hennig. A hardcore match for the hardcore title. Terry Funk beat the wall, brother. Mike Awesome defeated DDP by disqualification. Shane Douglas beat Lex Luger by DQ. And in the main event for the World Heavyweight Championship, Scott Steiner defeats champion Jeff Jarrett, you guessed it, by DQ. This Nitro had 18 minutes of wrestling on a three-hour show. There was a bunch of nonsensical promos and backstage dealings here with Vince Russo. I think the new blood, is getting underway, and it's a total mess here, folks. It's also worth noting that this week, I believe it was on Tuesday or Wednesday night, we had a very monumental piece of wrestling history where a WCW contracted employee wrestled a WWE contracted employee for the ECW title at an ECW house show. Now, the champion Mike Awesome recently debuted on Monday Nitro attacking Kevin Nash. They needed to get this title off of him somehow, and the wise man Paul Heyman, he cooked something up. Hydrate yourselves, folks, even if it is a nice hot cup of lemon tea at 9 p.m. on a Sunday night. So they had to get this title off of him, and Taz, being the good sport that he was, decided to become a transitional champion for the company, as a couple of days after this event, he would drop the title to Tommy Dreamer, who would then drop that title the same night to Just Incredible. Now, it's worth noting here that Tommy, he didn't want to be the ECW champion. I mean, you could see him being visibly upset at the end of this match. It's because, well, I didn't want to do this. They just had to find a way to get the title, I guess, to Just Incredible. He had a good heel run with the belt here, as did Steve Corino. Because we would see Taz come out on this episode of Raw with the ECW title intact. Spoiler alert. And spoiler alert-ish for something that's on this week's SmackDown on April 20th, 2000, just a couple of days before my 16th birthday, we had from the First Union Center in Philly. Big full circle moment here, Nate, take a shot. Where we had WrestleMania 40 in Philly, we get to see such notable matches like the Road Dogg beating Edge, the Dudley Boys defeating the team of Eddie Guerrero and S.A. Rios, put a pin in that one. The Big Show versus Rikishi ending in a double countout. Triple H with Stephanie McMahon, the WWE champion, defeated the ECW champion Taz due to interference from Tommy Dreamer. This, of course, would set up their ECW title house show match the week after this. So this was a really cool piece right here. Another notable piece from wrestling history. I mean, well, y'all know that Vince McRedacted, had been bankrolling ECW since like 1996, when he had people like Draws and Al Snow and Jerry Lawler and Doug Furness and Phil LaFon appearing on your program. And then that awesome ECW Invasion episode of Monday Night Raw in the Fretzelmania archives. We also had Test and Albert with Trish defeating the Godfather and D'Lo Brown. X-Pac defeated Christian. Chris Benoit, the Intercontinental Champion, beat Kurt Angle by DQ in a title match, retaining. And in the main event, Chris Jericho beat The Rock in a lumberjack match. This is neat. This is something I might have to look into just a little bit. Now, Monday Night Raw from Penn State University on April 17th, 2000. We immediately kick off this show with Chris Jericho versus Triple H for the WWE title. You know where this is going, folks. On a recent episode of SmackDown, Chris Jericho had been calling Stephanie some really naughty words. A bargain basement slut and a filthy, brutal, disgusting, bottom-feeding trash bag hoe. How I still know that word for word almost some 24 years after the fact is concerning? Let's not use that word. It's fun, funny, ironic, weird. I can't remember what I had for dinner tonight. Yes, I can. I had chicken. But I can remember and recite that and about 32,000 Simpsons references. Anyways, Chris Jericho has come to apologize to Triple H and to Stephanie, to apologize to all of the trash bag hoes for comparing you to the slimeball pig that is Stephanie. So we see a sign in the crowd that says, "Shut up and wrestle." Yeah, Tony Khan, I think I could retroactively give that one to you, showing footage. Not going there. All of us on War have said our piece. Listen to the Young Lions perspective from this past weekend for his piece. I can't wait to see what the Kings of the Rings are going to cook up for this one. So Jericho continues to go to Triple H and says, "Hey, if you want to impress your lady, you'll put the title on the line in our mat." And then Chris Jericho also, you know, in case of emergency break glass moment here, he enlists the help, the paid help, of APA Protection Agency. So Farouk and Bradshaw come down to the ring here just to make sure that stuff's not going to go down. So I wrote down also here, "Come on, Chris, finish the story. A story that started 4 nights ago when you besmirched another man's wife." So we kick off here with a Tito Santana flying forearm. Ole, the Triple H high knee. This match is getting a whole bunch of brawls and schmazes and chases around the ring and classic Attitude Era overbooking. The crowd begins to kink shame the people in the ring by saying Shane's a pussy, asshole, slut, etc. I'm not one to kink shame, but these guys are, I think, are also letting us know what their search history is. And hey, TMI, I don't need to know. What goes on behind closed doors is none my business. So Y2J is sent into the steps. Pedigree is reversed into the Walls of Jericho, which gets a big old pop because the very notion, the very idea of Triple H clapping out just makes this crowd wet, just makes them salivate. Finally, we have the ATA run Shane McMahon out of town. The referee, Mike Chioda, gets bumped amongst this chaos. Chris Jericho gets a belt shot on Triple H for the visual three. Then Earl freaking Hebner runs down to the ring to attempt to go for the three count. Apparently, I think Earl had been kayfabe fired or in trouble from the McMahon-Helmsley regime. So his presence here is interesting, and it's also kind of salivating. He's on probation. I kind of went ahead in my notes here. Triple H shoves Earl. Earl shoves him back. One thing that Hebner, he don't take shit from anyone. He'll shove you back. He'll let you know. He'll put you in his place. And put you in his place, he did. With Triple H, where Chris Jericho hits like a clothesline or a move or something on Trips, hits the lion salt, and fast count. We have a new WWE champion with Chris Jericho. Less than a year into his run, Jericho has been the WWE Intercontinental and European Championship. Oh, crap. We know where this goes, right, folks? This is one of your phantom title wins, but I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here. So Triple H is human pissed at Earl here. So he basically kidnaps Earl Hebner, tells everyone that he was screwed, he was jobbed out, and he gets everyone in the ring here. He gets Shane and Stephanie. And Earl Hebner, Shane's like holding Earl back. And he gets Mike Chioda, who was the original referee in this match before he got bumped, saying that, Mike, I want your honest, unbiased opinion about this. Was that a fast count? Did Earl Hebner screw me? Earl, you screwed Brett. And you screwed Hunter. Okay, I added that first part. I'm over it. It's fine. I'm fine. So Triple H threatens Earl and says, tell everyone here that you're reversing this decision, that I am the champion, that this never, ever happened. This is stricken from the record books, and you screwed me. Triple H here is gaslighting this crowd, these 15,000 some odd fans that witnessed a new champion being crowned, dusty as that finish may be. God rest his soul, baby. He says no. Triple H continues to threaten Hebner while Shane holds him back. He's like, okay, fine. Earl's like, fine, listen. Hear me out. I'm going to reverse the decision on one condition. Nobody touches me as the senior official here. I'm a referee for life. You can never fire me unless you find me shilling out counterfeit merchandise in the parking lot with my son. and nobody can put their damn hands on me. Triple H then continues to gaslight the crowd, continues to be in complete denial. Chris Jericho comes out here wearing that title, and that title looks good on Y2J. It's a shame that we wouldn't see this IRL for another 18 months. So Chris Jericho then uses the gaslighting back on Triple H. It's like, oh yeah, I didn't win the title. Just like Stephanie didn't bang half the locker room. I'll give this belt back. And well, he kind of has to here, right? So we get your typical phantom title win, much like the likes of Owen Hart, The Rockers, Bob Holly in the IC title, also Aldo Montoya in the IC title, Antonio Inoki in the WWE title against Bob Backlund, Andre the Giant and Ted DiBiase from that historic episode of Saturday Night's Main Event, Chris Benoit in this year twice will have the world title won, and it swept up from underneath him. Spoiler alert for the main events of Fully Loaded and Unforgiven. And also, just because it's a meme at this point, Brian Kendrick is a former WWE champion in the scramble match perspective of things. So this match is stricken from the records, even though it took place on national TV in front of, what did I say, 15,000 fans at Penn State? Okay. So then Earl Hebner gets the belt back from Chris, and Triple H is like, give me the belt. No, no, that's not good enough. No. Put the belt on me. Wrap it around my waist. And this is where, this is just me because I'm a douche. This is where I would, okay, I'm going to put the belt on you and then just give you the Shinsuke Nakamura low blow right in the mini Triple H's and I'd run away. I would quit and I would go into witness protection for the rest of my life because a cerebral assassin with a sledgehammer chasing me is straight out of a horror movie, and I'm not about that life. Then Triple H just says, thank you. Oh, by the way, you're fired. Beats him up, pedigrees him, and all the refs storm the ring. Excuse me, folks. Hydrate. I remind you again, stay hydrated. Backstage, China is helping Eddie Guerrero study for his GED. His mamacita is here, and he's like, hey, no, no. You have a match. Study later. Match now. Come on. Let's go. Eddie is stressing about this test, right? So we're leading into his next match, which is coming up in a little bit. But first, a limo pulls up to the arena with sweet zombie Linda McMahon. And looking at her, she reminds me of like three of my aunts all rolled into one. Our next match here is the Hardy Boys versus European champion Eddie Guerrero and former light heavyweight champion Ese Rios with China. We then see a shirt that says Vachina. Get it?
Do you get it? It means vagina. I am totally not doing ASMR ever again.
I forgot about that shirt. And Eddie, he is pretty chill for a guy that is having a big test like the next morning. I still get stress dreams about college, about paper deadlines, 12 years after graduating from college. King then thinks this would be a good VR match. Dude is a sorcerer. He thought of the Thunderdome. Like 20 years before it happened. What sorcery are you under, King, and where can I get some? We then see the luchadors doing lucha things, working over the high flyers in this match. Eddie with his nice mwah, chef's kiss, c'est magnifique moment of the night with his slingshot senton. And of course, the Attitude Era crowd with the douchey vuvuzela horns. My goodness gracious, I hate those fucking things. Just every time there's like a big bump, it's like a punch. You get the little squeakers in there. And sometimes you get the big, loud, like bassoon, like ones. They're so douchey. I'm so glad they're not a thing, at least in wrestling anymore. At least if I'm watching the World Cup go Germany, I can hood up with it. But he likes. And then King calls Jeff Hardy, Jeff Hardley. A young Mike Adamly is taking notes. Matt hits a fucking go ding on Eddie. Get a double flapjack on Eddie by the Hardys. Jeff goes for the swanton, but China then reaches for his dingleberries for a low blow. We get a moonsault press onto Matt from SA. We get legal man syndrome here. This match just completely falls apart. Lita goes for a moonsault on Matt, but Eddie is clearly standing in the way, standing in her path. That happens, and then we get a twist of fate on Eddie for the win. And for good measure, to get some heat back, China powerbombs S.A. Rios for, well, reasons. They lost. This, of course, is going to set up a European title match for Backlash. That review will either be coming next week or the week after with my special guest. You'll have to find out when we get there. Did I reveal it yet? No. No, I didn't. So Eddie hugs China's legs, Mamacita, the modern day Dom and Mommy, just, yeah. But back then, Dom and Mommy, ironically enough, with Dom's real pappy. Anyways, backstage, Linda and Shane McMahon are having a chat, and Linda says that she has an important announcement, and Shane is trying to poke and prod his mother for some knowledge here. And he's like, nope, I'm not saying anything until I announce it to the world. Triple H is stressing out about Linda and this special announcement regarding The Rock at Backlash, and sends Shane back to try and goad on and plead with his mother. We then get the hardcore title match here, a triple threat between Perry Saturn, the hardcore champion Crash, and the ECW champion Taz. I already talked about this a little bit earlier, so I'm just going to get right into this match. Crash Pearl Harbors everyone with the cookie sheets. We get Saturn flapjacking Taz. A German suplex by Saturn onto Crash, but Taz comes in with some bin shots. And then we get a double team here by the new Eliminators. And for some strange reason here, Bob Holly comes to the ring here with the referee to attack Crash. And this becomes a match inside a match. Matchception. Matchception. Two takes, and it's in. We get a Taz mission by Taz onto Saturn. Crash comes in with the pans. A Falcon Arrow on Perry Saturn. The former name of that move was the Holocaust. And then Crash steals it. The Houdini of hardcore strikes again. Crash Holly retains, and we move on. This was fun. I love me some hardcore title shenanigans. I am loving reliving Crash Holly's run. This is great. Yeah. Backstage, Shane McMahon pleads with his mom again and tries to sweet talk her about this announcement. And Linda's like, no, sorry, son. I'm just going to make this announcement next. So you're going to have to wait and see what it is. Kurt Angle is at Penn State University. He's on campus holding up a sign saying OHFA, the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. Not quite. No, it's Olympic Heroes for Abstinence. So Kurt Angle here is going to preach saving it till marriage. He is asking people to remain sexually pure. And I bet he's reading I Kiss Dating Goodbye or Wild at Heart or Every Young Man's Battle. If you know of those books or remember those books, I am sorry for the religious trauma you might have to relive as a result. And then Linda McMahon makes her special announcement. She thinks that the main event of Backlash is unfair, that being The Rock versus Triple H for the world title. The deck is stacked against The Rock. My husband, redacted name, is in the corner of Triple H. Of course, Triple H will also be accompanied by my daughter, Stephanie. This means that The Rock is outnumbered, and I should put someone in his corner. People have been asking me who that's going to be, and they said, will it be Mick Foley? No. Mick Foley was a one-shot, one-time, one deal, and he is now sitting at home, happily retired, until I hire him as commissioner in about 2 months' time. Spoiler alert. And then we hear some faint Austin chants, because the crowd's anticipating this. They know what Linda McMahon's cooking. They can smell what the boss's wife is cooking here. And then she announced that it's Stone Cold Steve Austin. And the pop, the mention of his name is massive. His presence has been sorely missed on WWE TV for these past 6 or 7 months. And the notion of him just coming back for a one-shot deal is just, man, it's getting them hard or whatever here. So Triple H blows a gasket at this announcement. Him, Steph, Shane, they all come out here and saying, like, what are you thinking? You can't do this. Absolutely not. And then Stephanie's like, if you're not going to change your mind, then to quote you, when I was a child, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Stephanie goes to slap her mother in the face, but Linda blocks it and slaps Stephanie. Linda slaps her own daughter. Triple H goes from 5 to like over 9,000, sees red. He goes to pedigree Linda McMahon, his mother-in-law. But then Shane McMahon just immediately decks Triple H, just like, you fucking do not touch my mother. And then Steph slaps Triple H, slaps her brother, Jerry. In-laws are at each other's throats. And then The Rock's music hits. Perfect timing. The final bop, spoiler alert for 24 years from now, is here. He then calls Stephanie McMahon a prostitute in training. He talks about having Stone Cold in his corner. Like, yeah, we've never seen eye to eye. I mean, you all know The Rock and Stone Cold's history. we don't like each other, but we both agree on one thing. That Triple H is the biggest asshole walking God's green earth. And then Rock talks about how he's going to win the title if you smell, blah, 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 blah. The WWF Boot of the Week is brought to you by Lugs. They're for your feet. And it's on heat. The Dudley boys are trying to put Trish through a table. We are teasing Trish, getting some wood. And then it doesn't happen because, yeah, TNA jumped them and prevents stuff from happening. Backstage, Triple H gaslights Cole about earlier in the night. You know, Chris Jericho didn't win shit, blah, blah, blah. Jericho, gosh, we're not done. We're going to have you and the APA versus D-Generation X tonight. Next up here, we had the Dudley Boys versus Head Cheese, Al Snow, and Steve Blackman. There was a bit on SmackDown with Al Snow and being in a nursing home or something. I didn't really look into this, but this match boot kicks off right away with an acai moonsault to the outside on Devon by Al. Steve muffuggin' kicking Bubba Ray straight out of the muffuggin' dojo. The 3D on Al. This match looks to be over before it starts, but TNA, Pearl Harbor, the Dudley Boys. Pest hits a top rope elbow on Devon. Al Snow pins, and we have kind of an upset win here with Head Cheese beating the Dudley Boys. Big assist to T and or A. Bubba Ray grabs Trish, tells Devon to get the table. I think this is where that starts. Yeah, there is a lot of things cooking here in the company. Like the Worm is starting to get there. We're starting to get the crowd participation with that. But we're getting really close here. We are on the precipice of some greatness here. So while Bubba is holding Trish in position for getting some wood, she plants a lip lock on Bubba Ray Dudley and he taps out. Immediately his face, euphoric trance. The tease is coming. We're getting TNA versus the Dudley Boys at Backlash. Trish is getting wood. And then, back at Penn State U, Kurt Angle hawk blocks a couple who are just having a little makeout sesh. It's rude. And then he says, hey, if you're going to suck on something, suck on this. And it's a sucker instead of a penis. Then we see LeVar Harrington, who is a Washington football team number one draft pick. I've never heard of him. I wasn't watching football that much at this point in time, mostly because in 2000, the Chiefs stank. We then see a match for the light heavyweight championship pitting Scotty Too Hotty versus champion Dean Malenko. And this is a big old full circle moment. Nate, take a shot. Where Scott Taylor was in the inaugural tournament to determine the first WWF light heavyweight champion just 3 years previous to this. Last night on Heat, Dean Malenko won with a handful of tights. Scott Taylor, Scotty, decides to invoke his rematch clause for tonight on Raw. And tonight, Monday Night Raw, is brought to you by Fram Auto Filters, Chef Boyardee, and WWF Aggression, one of the worst WWE albums of all time. We see a sign on the crowd that says, I can't spell, and it spells it with one L. I see what you did there. Golf clap. And Too Cool is over as Grover here today. King asks, how does Scotty keep his hair up? He uses that. There's something about Mary hair gel. If you know, you know. I'm not going to elaborate on that at all. Now, and this is the announcers talk about something else match, about Stone Cold, about Triple H, about The Rock. And then I've mentioned this in countless reviews. I mentioned this in Ruthless Aggression SmackDown reviews. That's a throwback. Where you hear the loud air conditioner, you can really hear like the AC units and the compressors going on in the arena. And this is just making me think of compressors at work. Like the other night we had a power flicker. So I live extremely close to my job and I just had to go clip something on one of the compressor switches because that's what power outages do. It trips things. So I'm prone to think about things like this when I hear these units. I'm like, did someone check the compressors at this arena? Because this is loud. So then we see Scotty get a snap power slam, another spugingo. Ding. Thanks, Levi. We get a bulldog. We get the worm. And we're not quite at the Scotty stepping to the WORM bit yet, but King is doing that on commentary. So eventually, I think the crowd's going to have this Pavlovian response to that. We're getting there. The rest of 2000, like after WrestleMania 2000, which I think I said is their worst event of the year. I'm not counting like the UK pay-per-views because I'm not watching them. They're not that much canon, even though there's a lot of storyline canon and people winning and losing European titles on these tours. Yeah, I'm not going there. Pay me to, and I might watch them. So then Dean hits a tiger bomb and locks in the Texas Cloverleaf, but Scotty reaches the ropes. And this bit here, this timing, I thought was so well done. So Dino's going to the top rope for a superplex. He lands it, and the second he lands it, Scotty Tuhati gets an inside cradle, a small package, pins Dean, and wins the light heavyweight championship. He then celebrates by breakdancing, and that made me think, I used to be able to do that. About 80 pounds ago. Good times. And no, it's not all fat that I put on. I mean, I used to work out like crazy. So let's put a pin in that one, folks. Then Kurt is continuing to preach about abstinence when the Big Show comes around. He's like, hey, have some condoms, folks. Here, have safe sex and blah, blah, blah. I'm 2 weeks away from being a 40-year-old virgin. But I'm actually okay with it. So yeah. Woohoo, condom sex, woohoo. We then get the Big Show versus Benoit for the IC title. And the Big Show's guy aggression rap theme comes up. Who is it by? Mac-10? Oh yeah, that's why it sucks. I'm not sorry. We then get chops that the Big Show no-sells. He absolutely yeets Chris Benoit. It's all Big Show getting all the power spots over Benoit before finally, after a goozle, Benoit just kicks him right in the dick, blatantly right in front of the referee. DQ, Benoit bails. Kurt Angle comes in and continues to stomp on Big Show's dick some more. I guess he's getting revenge for encouraging practicing safe sex by stomping him in the balls. All right. Fair game. I see what you're doing here. Next up, the Castrol GTX Slam of the Week is on SmackDown last week, where Shane McMahon gets rock-bottomed through the announce table. Next up, we hear our next match. We're swinging by this event. Edge and Christian, the tag team champions, going up against the Boss Man and Bull Buchanan, the father of Brooks Jensen, against the father of hard time. Immediately, Boss Man sucks. Chance, like, Boss Man sucks. X-Pac sucks. There's a lot of heat going on with these fellas. Boss Man is still behaving badly. We haven't forgiven him for cooking up a man's dog and serving it to him like it's tacos. What do they call it? Pepper steak? And it looked like ground beef. I mean, at least put that in a taco shell or something, man. We haven't forgiven you for that, Boss Man. We then get a beat down by the wannabe cops here. Referee Teddy Long is shoved. Disqualification. Then out comes Kane, who has been a victim from Boss and Bull lately. I think they smashed up his hand. I'm going to guess they smashed it with a ring step. It's not like the time that the Big Show and Albert smashed Big Show's hand with a hammer. Yeah, Kane's been the victim of some police brutality from these two guys. So he gets a measure of revenge by goozling Bull and hitting a chokeslam with his bad hand. Backstage, Cole and Y2J are having a chat, and Michael Cole has the audacity to ask the APA, it's like, hey, what if Triple H gave you money to secretly take out Chris? He's like, hey, if Triple H paid us, we'd be man enough to admit it, and we'd do our job. And then Bradshaw's like, hey, you're going to get your ass kicked for free, you little bitch. Okay. And then Edge and Christian pass by DX in the hallway. DX, Pearl Harbor, the champs. I think Edge and Christian said something about shining up titles and not about sticking them sideways up some kind of orifice. We then get the Big Show's Chef Boyardee commercial. You know, Chef Boyardee is the only thing big enough to suppress my big appetite. We're a month away from Big Show getting sent down to OVW for fat stuff. Real subtle. Then finally we get Y2J and APA. Nice alliteration here. Going up against D-Generation X's Triple H, Road Dogg, and X-Pac. The King of Rock Who, the King of Rock What, the King of Rock Who, the King of Rock What, Hobby a Job, something, something, something. It's an old Run DMC song they remixed into a modern DX theme. It's like the only song on that entire album I like. Okay, Snoop Dogg's Stone Cold cover ain't bad either. Okay, there's two. The rest of it's shit. And I like Method Man and Red Man. Is DMX on that? Yeah, I'm not looking into this. So this is your classic main event six-man match where everyone gets their shit in. We get a schmoz. We get X-Pac hitting an X-Factor before the APA chase DX up the ramp. Edge and Christian are waiting for them up there for a beatdown. And it's down to Chris Jericho and Triple H left alone in the ring. Pedigree, Triple H wins. DX stands tall. Measure of revenge for a title win that didn't happen. Yeah, that was a wild and weird episode of Raw here, folks. Excuse me. I'm going to wrap things up here by... Yep. Saying that is it. You can follow me on all the social medias at Fretzelmania. That's FRETZLEmania. This podcast is available on Wrestle Addict Radio. Say it with me, folks. The cure for the common wrestling podcast. Check the link in our description here for merchandise. We got the t-shirts and the hoodies. Coffee mugs, beer steins, sports bras, shorts. Short season's coming up, folks. Beat towels, and so much more. Featuring all of us on the network, including the Kings of the Rings podcast. Now streaming on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That means I won't be able to see them as often as I did before. Tuesday nights are fairly busy, and I usually work late. We also have Brace for Impact with a good brother, Nate, the effing great. Apparently had a really good outing at a improv or play or something on the weekend. I haven't seen too many bips and bops from it, but I've heard good things. I forget what it was called. Something with noses. And of course, you got to kick off your weekend in proper YLP fashion with Zach, the Young Lions perspective, and he had a doozy last week when he was talking about the whole Tony Khan showing CM Punk footage from All In. I'm not getting into that. Check my tweets if you want to see my bits about it. Check my likes, even. You'll you'll get it. So I think I'm doing Backlash next week, folks. I'm just going to take a look at what my schedule is going to be. I got a great guest lined up for this one, and I can't wait to record with this person. So, yes, folks, follow Wrestle Addict Radio on Twitter at @addict_wrestle. I'm sometimes using it to tweet during shows. Wrestle Addict Radio on Instagram and other social places. Yeah, please listen to all of our shows. Tell a friend and get them to tell their friends and so on and so on and so on. Much like Wayne Campbell in Wayne's World. So until next time, folks, thank you very much. TTFN, ta-ta for now. Keep your stick on the ice. Playoffs starting soon. Go Leafs, go.
Well, guys, that's going to be it for episode 386 of the YLP podcast. As always, I want to thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of the podcast. And as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. Of course, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or opinions about today's episode or any of the other 385 episodes of the YLP podcast, do not hesitate. Hit your boy up with a voice message over at podcasters.spotify.com/youngLionsPerspective or podcasters.spotify.com/WrestleAddictRadio. Also, you can leave your boy a nice little email over at youngLionsPerspective@gmail.com. If you want to stay up to date with everything that's going on with the YLP podcast, you can follow me on my social media over at Twitter at YLPerspective. That's capital YLP Perspective. You can also find me over on Instagram at @young_lions_perspective. Follow me on all these platforms to stay up to date with everything that's going on with the YLP podcast. So, Mr. YLP, what is going to be going down on episode 387 next week? Well, we're going to be getting back to the grand scheme of things, talking about all the news that's fit for me to talk about with a brand spanking new episode of News of the Week, the show that discusses all the news that's fit for me to talk about. So we'll probably be discussing more about the fallout from AEW Dynamite, probably some stuff coming out of WrestleMania. Who knows? But whatever we find news-wise, that is what we're going to be discussing. That is all that is going to be going down next Saturday. Back to the news. I will say this. Before we close out the weekend, I will say this is probably one of the best weekends I have had in quite some time as a professional wrestling fan, and I am thankful that professional wrestling is back in the lexicon of WWE. No more sports entertainment, thank the Lord. And yeah, professional wrestling is back in WWE, and that is all I've wanted. That is all I've ever wanted in WWE, and now we are in probably one of the biggest boom periods ever since the lead up to probably 17. We're in that kind of boom period. Like, we're in, like, Attitude Era, Ruthless Aggression boom period right now. And I think it's safe to say we're in good hands with Triple H, the CCO of WWE. Everything about WrestleMania 40 was just a solid spectacle. And I am thankful every day that I am a wrestling fan and we can get to enjoy moments like this. And we get to enjoy moments like the one we saw, like the ones we saw this past last weekend at WrestleMania 40. Other than that, guys, enjoy the remainder of your weekend. If you're going out this weekend, please, you know, drink responsibly. Drink one for yours truly. Make sure you take that Uber or Lyft home so you don't have to worry about getting that DUI and a five-figure dealing in terms of guapo. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Have a fantastic week. And I'll see you guys right back here next Saturday for episode 387 of the YLP Podcast. See you.